This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you to join us every Sunday at this time for worship with us.
People sometimes say to us, "Don't worry." And Jesus also said that. Is it possible for us to follow this counsel in our day? That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we know that we live in a world that is broken. We know that there are many cares, and they come in upon us. And so we are bound to fall into that state of worry, wondering what the future has in store for us. Grant that we may understand, and help us today as we study these words to know what you meant and to whom you spoke them when you said, "Take no thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Hear us then, Lord, and be our teacher. In Christ's name, amen.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the
tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got everybody in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands.
Friends in Christ, one of the greatest gifts that God can give to us is peace of mind and soul. Listen to the text that is ours for today, as it is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with the 25th verse, Matthew 6:25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body?
more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his wonders was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Friends, how can we not worry when we look around at the world of which we are a part? Just sit down by your television for a couple of hours and listen to CNN or Fox's news station. Listen to the reports that are coming from people who have been there and know what they're talking about. We talk about wars. Many of our young men and women are coming home badly wounded. Others of them have died, killed in battle, and we have the memorial services for them. And then you go on and they talk about crime. Crime that I imagine has always been here, but it's brought right into the living room of our home by the television camera. As a result, we see some of the most hideous things happening. A mother killing her child. Whoever heard of it? Then there's the economy. We say that the economy is not bad, that we have been on the verge of a terrible depression and all the rest. The unemployment is bad, up to 10% in some parts of our country. And we wonder, what about our children? Will they have a job? Will there be anything for them to do? We, of course, then turn to health. And it doesn't seem to be much difference. Of course, the older die first. But every so often you hear of a tragic death of a young person who leaves a family. It's in the midst of a world like that that comes in around us because it is brought to us through the media. We could shut it off, I imagine, but most of us don't. And then somebody says, don't worry. But you can see that Jesus Christ himself uttered those same words in the text that I just read for you and that is ours today. This is what Jesus wants to get across to us. Don't worry. Now, what in the world did he mean? And I think we should spend some time today, because if Jesus says it, then there is something for us to listen to as these words come to our ears. He is talking to a group of people who lived in a personal relationship with him. Otherwise, these words that he had spoken, don't worry, would make no sense at all. You know what I mean when I say that he was speaking to people who lived in a personal relationship with him? When he had confronted them, they had invited him into their hearts. And they have that personal, intimate relationship that Jesus is not just another character that is found on the pages of the scriptures, but that Jesus Christ is a living person who has been crucified, been raised, and has ascended into heaven, but he has also come to live with you and me. We also know that Jesus was not advocating a reckless, shiftless life with no purpose and responsibility. He gave his disciples a great word when he said, "Here is your work to be done. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them." He gave them purpose in life. You know, also in some of his parables that he would tell about the faithful man who tilled the soil. And you know that this goes on in his teaching, because when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said to him that the man who works the hardest, that farmer, deserves the first of the crop. God had given us talents, and these talents were not to be wasted. They were to be multiplied, and they were to be used not only for personal gain, but they were used for the kingdom of God and what was needed to bring people into a living relationship with Him. So he's not after some irresponsible person who just says, don't worry. That's not what we're talking about. He is talking to those who know him in a personal way and what he wants. And then he gives these two wonderful pictures. Look at the birds. They fly around and they are not worried about anything. But sooner or later they'll die. Look at the lilies of the field. Are they not beautiful? No one can be adorned better than them. And yet it isn't long before they wilt away and they're burned in the fire, and that's the end of them. And then he says, "Are you the crowning work of God's creation, made in his image, not of much more value than they are?" We are the crowning work of his creation, and he is not going to leave us alone until we find our way into his kingdom. Who of you, he says, can add one cubic to his life by worrying? But he goes on to say, now look, those of you who know me, those of you who have had a confrontation with me, realize this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. What is he doing? He's going right back to the basic truth, talking to those who know him personally as a Savior, talking to those whose lives are committed to him. And he says, "Let me guide you, and I'll lead you to a great, full life. You will have grievous days. You'll have days where you're very, very concerned. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But in the midst of it all, as you grieve, as you can be angry and everything else, don't worry. Because God can stand your anger, and God can guide you into the right thinking. But during it all, don't worry. We have a heavenly home that can be ours when it's all done. And God will be there to meet us when it is that time." I think, for example, today of a case. The man was about 45 years of age, I guess. And as I recall, that family, they had two marvelous children, probably 8-10 years old. When suddenly the man becomes very, very ill, and after a rather brief illness where I visited with him often, he would say to me, "This simply doesn't make sense. And I want you to know that I'm worried." So we began to talk about it, and I said to him, "Are you worried about where you're going?" "No," he said, "I am a Christian. I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I have known that from the time that I was just a little child. I took comfort in that. But this is just a little bit different. I am worried about the fact that now that I'm going to die, my wife will be left with the great privilege, but also the great responsibility to feed and to clothe and to guide and direct those two boys whom we both like and love so much. Why does God do it? I'm worried. Now, to that man, I said basically what I'm saying in this sermon today. You know that when you breathe your last, God is going to meet you in heaven. So as you have already confessed, there's nothing for you to worry about, is there? Personally, no, he said. But my family, don't you think that God is going to take care of your father, your children, and that they will come along fine with their mother's care and the help of other people? Well, he said, I believe he will. When I throw it into the hands of God, then I can say, I don't know who it is that's going to take care of you. And I might even say, if it's somebody else besides me and your mother, then I say they can't do it as well as I could have done it, because I am your father. But having said that, I can turn it all over to God. He is with us right now, my friend. Don't worry. We'll have many of the other kinds of emotions. And being human beings, it is natural that we will not turn it over to him as we should. We'll stumble and we'll fall, and he'll pick us up. And he'll pat us, symbolically speaking, now on the shoulder and say, that's okay. That's all right. Don't worry. I'm with you. You look at the birds, they don't worry. You look at the lilies, they do not worry. You are created in my image. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. It's as the song goes, I do not know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. So don't worry about today, but tomorrow, if you have turned your life over to Christ. But if you're not a believer, then you may be wondering again, what is it that he is trying to say? Doesn't make sense, does it? If you have come to that place where you say, this life is really too much for me, I need some help. That is what the Lord Jesus wants to hear from you. Then you can bow your head, bend your knee, and say, God, I walked with you through this life. I've never denied you, but I've really never had that relationship with you, that commitment, that I can take some of these big worries that I had in my business or that I had with my family or whatever it might have been, and asked you to care for me. But here I am, Lord. The day is soon coming when I will leave this world. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will guide me and direct me and empower me to cast all of my cares upon you. Come into my heart. Come in to stay come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's the kind of a God we have. Now, it is true if we cast him aside and say, I don't want to have anything to do with him, he will not force this upon us. He will not say, okay, if you feel you can make it without me, just remember that until you breathe your last breath, I will stand there and thank you for listening. And then if you'll just come, we'll be together for all eternity. Isn't that a message? Should we waste our day here? And now I speak as one who often falls away from this portion of God's word and worry a little bit. But they're bad days. But no matter how bad they can be, if we can say, God, I can't handle it anymore, I can't. I know good and well what it means. I was 70 years old. More or less, we had our retirement planned. And then my wife was suddenly taken with this devastating stroke. Since then, she has really not walked unassisted in her life. We changed our plans. And I wondered, well, thank God that the children are raised and that she had done such a marvelous job with that. But there were so many other things. How was life going to be lived out without her while I still have her? But I confess that there have been some rather rough days. And some of these days that I'm living right now are more rough than they have been since her stroke. For my strength begins to wane, and I cannot care for that woman as I want to, as I have tried to do during the last 15 or 16 years. But then, when this text came, I remember going to it so often. And what I heard him saying is, Homer, do not worry. I'm with you. He's used my family, my children, in-laws, grandchildren, friends. He works through many different people. His grace is sufficient. So one day when we were thinking about purchasing a tombstone, my wife said to me, when you buy that, have put underneath our names, God's grace is sufficient for us. That's a good word. Don't worry. It comes from Jesus if you trust him. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, this world that you created well, perfect, and everything was good, has suddenly become very broken. And that affects all of the things that are found in this world. But Lord, we thank you that when we are confronted with all of these hard times, that we can hear you saying, "Come, and I will give you rest." Lord Jesus, we pray that through the expounding of the word, that it may help us just a little bit. And we pray that for those today whose hearts are filled with fear and worry because of some difficulty in their family, that they may hear you saying through the scriptures, "I am with you." And then grant that your people who surround them may be faithful too and seek to help those who are in such need, telling them, in the name of Jesus, do not worry. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message will provide a strong foundation for your coming week. A number of Christian Crusaders listeners has chosen to include our ministry in their estate planning. Estate gifts have become a significant part of our ministry, and we're grateful to all of those who have chosen to make a final gift to support our mission. In this way, these donors leave a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To find out more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of the upcoming programs, which you can receive via email. To receive this e-newsletter, please call or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to sign up. You can also join our mailing list to receive our quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader, which contains special articles by Reverend Larson and Reverend Kramer, as well as news about our ministry. If you'd like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.